Welcome to Torah Timecha HaFtorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Shabbos HaGadol, we read from Sefer Malachi, chapter 3, verse 4, till the end of the perek, verse 24. This Shabbos is Shabbos HaGadol, and we read a special HaFtorah for the occasion. This is unique because, as we have learned, the HaFtorah typically elucidates or thematically aligns with the Torah reading, or, as we have seen over the past month, sometimes it corresponds to a special maftir reading for designated Shabbosos, such as Parsha Zachor or Parsha Shkalim. However, this time, we read the regular Torah portion, Tzav, with no change to the maftir, and we still have a special Haftorah. In fact, many commentators teach that the very name Shabbos HaGadol comes from the final verse of this Haftorah, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Hashem. Our Haftorah comes from the final chapter of Malachi, which is not only the conclusion of his book, but also the closing chapter of the entire Nevi'im, prophets section of Tanakh. Malachi was the last of the prophets, meaning that the passage we read on this Shabbos contains Hashem's final prophetic message to Klal Yisrael before the long and painful exile, an exile absent of prophecy, devoid of direct messages from Hashem, and lacking the clarity that prophecy once provided. What we will explore is why this specific prophecy was chosen for Shabbos HaGadol, and how, as we engage in the sacred avodah of Chag HaPesach, this Haftarah deepens our understanding of Pesach's meaning and the profound opportunity this Yom Tov provides. The Haftorah presents a sobering reality. We often fall short in our obligations, both in our service to Hashem and in our responsibilities towards others. Whether it is in our treatment of employees or our care for the most vulnerable in our communities, widows, orphans, and converts, our actions do not always align with Hashem's expectations. Hashem reminds us, Va'ani Hashem lo shanisi. I am God, I have not changed. My expectations remain the same. I call upon you, my people, to live an elevated life, to care for one another. And so he pleads, Shuva elai va'ashuva elechem. Return to me, and I will return to you. Fascinatingly, the next verse reflects B'nai Yisrael's response, Bamen ashuv. In what way should we return? There is always this underlying confusion. What does belief in Hashem truly demand of us? We may say, but we believe in Hashem. We serve Him diligently. What more does He want from us? The answer is striking. In verse 8, Hashem responds, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. How? By failing to give tithes, by withholding the money meant for the Levi and for the poor. Hashem says, I entrusted you with wealth. It was never meant for you alone. It was given so that you could share. And yes, Hashem acknowledges, this is difficult. It is hard to think beyond ourselves, to live generously. We fear that if we give, we may not have enough for our own needs and desires. But Hashem reassures us, you are my nation. And when you understand what it means to be my nation, I promise you will not lose out. He challenges us in a remarkable way in verse 10. Haviu es kol hamaser el beis haotzar, uvechanuni na bazos, amar Hashem tzvakos, im lo eftach lachem es arubos hashamayim, vaharikosi lachem bracha ad beli dai. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I do not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing beyond measure. This is one of the only times in Tanakh where Hashem invites us to test him. He promises that if we give with faith, we will see divine blessing. Yet, Malachi acknowledges another painful reality. He addressed it earlier in chapter 2, and he raises it again here in our Haftorah. I know it is difficult for you because you see the wicked flourishing. We live in a world where those who cheat and oppress others seem to thrive, while those who carefully observe the mitzvot do not always see immediate blessings. We begin to envy the evildoers, watching as they laugh in the face of justice. And yes, the question of theodicy troubles us. So what are we to do in such a world? In this chapter, there is a profoundly moving verse. Az nidberu yireh Hashem ish al re'ehu, vayakshev Hashem, vayishma, vayikasev sefer zikaron lefanav liyireh Hashem ulechoshvei shemo. Then those who feared God spoke to one another, and God listened and heard. A book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear Hashem and think about his name. Hashem tells us, in those moments of doubt, when the world seems upside down, I want you to encourage one another, to speak words of faith and strength to each other. And know this, I see everything. Even though you cannot see me, I see you. I see not only your good deeds and sacrifices, I also hear your conversations of encouragement and hope. I cherish them so deeply that I record them in a book of remembrance. And Hashem assures us, there will come a day when all will be clear, the righteous will bask in divine light, and those who were cruel and corrupt will finally face true justice. Until that time, how do we endure? Malachi leaves us with his final words, the last prophecy before the long silence of exile. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Even though prophecy has ceased, when you read the Torah, know that I am speaking to you through it. The words of the Torah are my voice. And ultimately, you will come home to me, finally and completely. Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi lifnei vo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. V'heishiv lev avos al banim v'lev banim al avosam. Pen avo v'hikesi es ha'aretz cherem. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And many are accustomed to repeat this second last verse again and conclude with it. Hine anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanora. Behold, I will send you Eliyahu the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Hashem. So this Shabbos that commemorates the taking of the seh that would be the Korban Pesach, the Korban that heralded our salvation from our first exile, our first redemption, this final chapter of prophecy prepares us for another long exile and promises us that just as the slavery in Egypt ultimately came to an end, so too will this one. And Hashem will send Eliyahu HaNavi to return sons to fathers and fathers to sons. Eliyahu HaNavi, whom Chazal identify as the Malach HaBris, the angel of the covenant mentioned in verse 1, just before our Haftorah begins, is a figure of deep fascination and mystery. His very name creates another link between our Haftorah and the holiday of Pesach, as tradition teaches us that Eliyahu HaNavi visits every Seder. But why is he called Malach HaBris, the angel of the covenant? The Radak, in his commentary on our Haftorah, explains that this refers to Bris Milah. Tragically, in the northern kingdom of Israel, the practice of Bris Milah had been abandoned, and Eliyahu had zealously defended the sacred mitzvah. And as a reward, Hashem promised him that he would be present at every Jewish child's Bris Milah, witnessing each new soul entering the covenant of Avraham Avinu. This is why we have the custom of preparing a special chair, Kiseh Shel Eliyahu, at every Bris Milah. This also connects to Pesach. The laws of the Korban Pesach, which was prepared on Shabbos HaGadol, were extremely strict. A household could not partake in the Korban Pesach if any of its male members were uncircumcised. Bris Milah and Korban Pesach are both defining mitzvos of Jewish identity, signifying dedication to Hashem's covenant. And this brings us to a deeper question. What is the connection between Eliyahu as Malach HaBris, Bris Milah, Pesach, and the final redemption? Why is it Eliyahu who will be the one to herald the ultimate Geula. The concept of Bris Milah represents the partnership between Hashem and us, a partnership that defines our role in this world. Hashem declares, I did not create you to be passive observers of my goodness. I created you to be a Tzelem Elokim, beings in my image. I want you to be givers, creators, and benefactors. You are to be godly in my world. When we cry out about the imperfections of the world, Hashem, so to speak, smiles back at us and reminds us, I left room for you to perfect it. This idea is embedded in Bris Milah itself. Just as Hashem creates a baby in an incomplete physical state, leaving room for the Bris Milah to be performed, so too, every aspect of the human experience is intentionally left unfinished, awaiting our efforts to refine and elevate it. A fascinating conversation in Medrash Tanchuma between Rabbi Akiva and the Roman governor Tornus Rufus beautifully illustrates this idea. The wicked Tornus Rufus once asked Rabbi Akiva, whose works are more beautiful, those of God or those of man? Rabbi Akiva answered, man's accomplishments are superior. Tornus Rufus, taken aback, challenged him, can man create heaven and earth? How can you say man's works are greater than God's? Rabbi Akiva replied, do not ask me about matters beyond human existence. Let us focus on what is within man's domain. Tornus Rufus then asked, if God desires that male infants be circumcised, why didn't he create them that way from birth? Rabbi Akiva smiled. I knew this was the question truly troubling you, and that is exactly why I answered as I did. God gave us his commandments to refine us through their observance. He gave us this privilege. To illustrate his point, Rabbi Akiva brought two items before Tornus Rufus, ears of wheat and freshly baked rolls. Pointing to the wheat, he said, this is God's creation. Then gesturing to the warm, finished bread, he continued, and this is man's work. The message is profound. Hashem created the world in an unfinished state, leaving us with a sacred task of refinement. Now with this deeper understanding, we can appreciate Hashem's message in our Haftorah. When we look at ourselves, our communities, and the world at large, we often feel overwhelmed by how far we are from perfection. Hashem reassures us, that is by design. I created the world with room for you to add your beauty, your effort, and your imprint. You are not meant to be passive. You were meant to perfect yourselves and elevate my world. And what about Eliyahu HaNavi? Eliyahu HaNavi stands as the ultimate example of someone who fulfilled this mission to perfection. In Malachim Beis, we learn that Eliyahu HaNavi reached such an elevated state of purity that he was uniquely granted entry into Olam Haba, body and soul. According to the Malbim's understanding of the verses, Eliyahu had so refined himself that he had conquered every aspect of his own nature. As he ascended to the heavens in a fiery chariot, he experienced all four fundamental elements, fire, water, wind, and earth, symbolizing his complete mastery over his physical existence. And now, returning to our Haftorah, Hashem calls to us, Shuva Elai, Vashuva Elechem, return to me and I will return to you. But instead of rising to the challenge, we respond helplessly, Bamenashuv, how can we return? At first glance, this might seem like complacency, as if we are saying, we are already good enough. But in truth, it is a cry of learned helplessness, a deep feeling that we are incapable of improvement. How can we possibly do better than we are already trying to do? Hashem's answer to this despair is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu embodies the reality that human beings can achieve greatness. This is why Eliyahu is present at every Bris Milah, to remind us of the mission that Bris Milah represents. Just as a newborn enters the covenant through a physical act of refinement, so too, we are meant to refine and elevate ourselves and the world around us. And Eliyahu HaNavi is there as a role model to show us this is possible. And why Eliyahu HaNavi visits our Pesach Seder. And then Hashem tells us, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I, Hashem, have not changed. What comforting words. Hashem reassures us, my mission for you, my children, my dream for you, remains unchanged. the destiny I set for you at that first Pesach, when I required that all who would partake in the Korban Pesach be circumcised, still holds true today. That moment was not only about physical redemption, it was about defining your purpose as a nation, one that gives, teaches, and illuminates my world. And Hashem continues, I still believe in you today, and one day you will achieve it. And when that day arrives, it will be Eliyahu HaNavi, the Malach HaBris, who will herald the final redemption, because Eliyahu is the bridge, the key connection between Pesach and Mashiach. And this is the message of Shabbos HaGadol. As we prepare for Pesach, we don't just remember a past redemption. We remind ourselves that the final redemption is within our reach. Hashem has not changed. His mission for us has not changed. And just as He believed in us then, He believes in us today. And the question remains, do we believe in ourselves? We look at the world and see imperfection, challenge, and brokenness. We wonder if we can truly make a difference. But Hashem's answer is Eliyahu HaNavi, the living proof that a person can refine themselves, can overcome their nature, can rise to greatness, and can make a tremendous impact on the world. His presence at every Bris Milah and Pesach Seder is our reminder of what we can be, that we are not meant to be bystanders. We were placed in an unfinished world so that we could perfect it. And when we take on that mission, when we step into our role as partners with Hashem, then just as Eliyahu heralds every Bris Milah and every Pesach Seder, He will, one day soon, herald the Geula Shelema. May this indeed be the year that we not only remember redemption, but that we experience it. Thank you for learning together.